You never want to have an epiphany in the middle of a speech. But I did. In the summer of 2000, I was speaking to a wonderful group of people called Spiritual Frontiers Foundation International. And they have a conference once a year to talk about how they can help evolve our society spiritually. So they're very dedicated, wonderful people. A friend of mine had asked me to give a speech called How the Money Works on Organized Crime. And in the middle of the speech, I was describing the fact that a reporter who was I was doing research for had been told by the Department of Justice that the U.S. economy and financial system launders $500 billion to $1 trillion a year of all dirty money. So I said to this wonderful group of spiritually evolved people, what would happen if we stopped laundering $500 billion to $1 trillion a year of all dirty money? So we had a little interaction, and they said, the stock market would go down because that money would leave and go to Hong Kong or Singapore or Zurich, and we'd have trouble financing the government deficit because we would offend the people who control that money and the accumulated capital for many years thereon. And so our government checks might stop or our taxes might go up. So I said, okay, well, let's pretend there's a big red button up here on the lectern. And if you push that button, you can stop all hard narcotics trafficking in your community, your state, your country tomorrow, thus offending the people who control $500 billion to $1 trillion of annual dirty money. And so I said, who here will push the button? And out of 100 people, only one would push the button. And I said to the other 99, why would you not push the button? And they said, we don't want our mutual funds and our IRAs to go down in price. We don't want our government checks to stop, and we don't want our taxes to go up. And so that's what I call the red button problem. And what the Solari mission is about how do we turn the red button green? In other words, how do we make money pushing the red button? Because if we can make money pushing the red button, then we can push the red button.
A little disturbing.
Boy, that's a horrible thought.
A little disturbing. Yeah, I mean, when you really start digging into what's going on, it's the rot is just incredible. But we're going to take a look at the feminine currency here a little bit. And here's just a good thought to kind of keep in mind. Connecting unused resources with unmet needs. And I love this story about Curitiba, Brazil. Curitiba is a city, 2.5 million when this happened in Brazil. And the city has a population, 2.3 million. And about a third of them lived in these favelas, these shanty towns, just, you know, and corrugated metal. I mean, just stuff thrown together. That's what they lived in. So a third of 2.3 million people live that way. So they had this problem with garbage. I mean, a lot of times people just throw their garbage in the street. There was no place to put it. The streets were really narrow. Garbage trucks couldn't get in to pick it up anyway. And they were afraid there was going to be an outbreak of disease with all this garbage and the rats starting to accumulate and whatnot. Well, they didn't have the money to fix the problem. So what do you do? Well, very brilliant mayor came up with this idea that he put up these big bins, kind of like dumpsters, on the outskirts of the favelas, and they were color-coded. So like red would be a bin for glass, and green would be a bin for tin, and blue would be one for aluminum. So they had these different color-coded bins. And if I brought a bag of pre-sorted trash, I would get a bus ticket. Now, one of the problems was these people didn't have enough money to buy a bus ticket to go into the city to look for work. So the buses were already running, only half full. Didn't cost hardly anything to print up bus tickets. And these people started bringing trash, getting a bus ticket, going into the city, finding work, started bringing that back. What happened in 6 months, they collected over 11,000 tons of trash. They gave away 2 million bus tickets. Did that with kids, poor kids. So they'd bring trash and they'd give them a notebook and a pencil so the children would have something to work with their school. So within 6 months to a year, the problem was solved, and it hardly cost anything. So they had all these resources. The people needed work. They wanted to pitch in. They wanted to do something. Here was a problem. We just print bus tickets. And it solved the problem. And they started, as they got work in the city, they were able to bring that money back into the community and develop it up. So it was... So the solution, I got the color-coded bins, Okay, 70% of all the families participated, so that's pretty big. But here was the results. So they called it garbage currency, but there were a number of other successful, innovative, complementary currencies that were solving many problems. So they just expanded this. You look at, here's the problem, what do we need to do to solve the problem, and is there a way to use life force, a form of life force to make this connection? Unmet needs with unmet resources. Well, as a result, it's the only city in Brazil that has lower pollution levels than they did in the 1950s. Crime rates lower, educational levels are higher than any other comparable cities in Brazil. And it's the only city that's turned down grants from the federal government because their own solutions are more effective and they don't want to deal with the red tape. What is really, no strings. But there are ways to empower people. And again, it's just thinking differently. Another one, the Japanese, in the mid-90s, Japan went through a number of really severe economic crises. We didn't hear about them too much here, but they were really, really struggling. And in the mid-90s, a former minister of justice, made the observation that 20% of the population was over 65, and that was going to keep growing. So the age of population was going to keep expanding. There wasn't money to take care of these people. What do you do? So he put together this consortium of over 100 nonprofit organizations, daycare centers, universities, elder care centers, hospitals, a whole bunch of nonprofit organizations, basically service-oriented, and instituted this process. I think the Japanese word's furi kupi, but it translates into caring relationship tickets. So the way that it worked is, let's say there's an older man here, like 80 years old, and he needs a little help. He can still live on his own, but he needs help shopping, chopping vegetables, maybe doing laundry, just a few little things like that around home. And there's this college kid that lives down the street from him. And so they pair them up, and this college kid just comes in and helps him out for an hour a week, or an hour a day. Chops vegetables, does his laundry, whatever he needs done. Pretty simple process. And it has a different valuation. So if you're just helping with groceries, it would be one level. But if you're helping an older person with personal care or something that's a little more involved, you would get a little bit more. But the ticket was like for 1 hour of work. And so when the young man received the caring relationship ticket, he could use that to help pay for his university education. He could send it to his aging parents in another part of the country, or he could save it for his own retirement. So over 800,000 people participated in this. I'm sure that's gone up to well over a million by now.
Oh boy, that's a good idea.
But it was a tremendous idea. Well, that spawned a whole bunch of other different experiments. And Japan had at the time I was studying this a few years back, they had like, I think, over 75, 80 different currencies to solve different problems. So, again, life force exchange. Well, one of the other cool things that came out of this is the people that were the recipients, the older people that were being taken care of, they would much rather have someone who was being compensated with caring relationship tickets take care of them than somebody who was being compensated with a national currency yen, Why would that be?
Because you work for somebody else, you do the minimal needed to keep your job, not that you care enough to do
anything. Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
So I'm a nurse and I've got a caseload of 20 people that I've got to see 20 people every day. I go in and I make sure their laundry's done, bam, 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 see you later, bye.
Right, company tells you how long you can stay.
Right. So, but with this, the additional effect of the caring relationship tickets is it started building relationships and community.
Right.
And so there is a huge plus, you know, and older people, I mean, if you're not talking to anybody, there's no interaction, your health is going to go down. I mean, there are a lot of things that are going on. But again, life force exchange. And it just had a whole bunch of other positive effects. Okay, little community of Wargel in Austria. So during our depression in the 30s, it was bad here. But it was way, way worse in Germany and Austria. They lost the war. I mean, it was a worldwide depression. And the little town of Wargel in Austria was struggling just like everyone else. Their infrastructure was falling apart. Businesses were closing. There was no money. There was nothing happening. 40% unemployment. You know, and the people that were employed were still struggling. So really bad situation. Well, the mayor of the town decided he was going to create a community-based currency. So they started printing them. They put them out, and they I think they made them the equivalent of a shilling. But one of the other things that they did besides saying here's the currency is they attached something called a demurrage charge. And what demurrage is, it's like reverse interest. Or it's like a parking fee on your money. The more you hold the money, it starts to lose value.
You have to spend it.
It made people spend the money. So nobody was hoarding. And the faster the life force circulated, the more good it did. Well, within a month, there was almost 100% employment. They started fixing their roads, fixing the infrastructure. They had a lot left over, so they built a ski jump, and the whole community started to prosper. Well, word of the miracle, the Wargel miracle, started to spread, and other communities started doing this. I mean, they were turning this depression around one community at a time. But the bankers of the Austrian bank found out about it and didn't like the competition. And they pressured the government to outlaw any kind of exchange except the national currency. And so all these communities that were starting to thrive crashed again. And made it very right for Hitler to come in and solve their economic problems. But about the same time, 1933-34, in Switzerland there was a similar problem. This group of businessmen that were all pretty tight got notes from the bank, we're going to stop your lines of credit, or we're going to dramatically cut them back. So their businesses were doing okay, but the bank says, we're drying up your money. Mm-hmm. And they knew when that happened, there's nothing they could do. No, nothing to circulate. So what they did is they got together and they said, well, I know I can trust you. You've got this inventory. You've got real estate. You know, you do this. These businessmen knew each other, they trusted each other, and they had assets to back it. So they started their own system. They call it a mutual credit exchange. They created their own credits. And they talked to their suppliers because the same thing was going to happen to their vendors and the suppliers and their distributors. Everybody is going to be affected by this banking contraction. So within 3 months, there were 1,700 businesses that got involved in this. Within a year, there are over 3,000. I don't know how to pronounce the big long German word, so it's Wir for short. But it completely turned it around, and this is still in existence today, 90 years later. And so the Wir takes care of about 25% of the Swiss economy. And what's cool about it is when the Swiss franc is strong, participation in the Wir drops off. But if the value of the franc ever starts to drop, the value of the Wir goes up. So you have this counter to the business cycle that's always stabilizing it. And this is one of the reasons the Swiss economy is as stable as it is. Time dollars, very similar to the carrying relationship tickets. This is started by an attorney in Washington, D.C. Normally I describe, I think attorneys are like parasites described as a lawyer. This guy thinks an angel described as a lawyer. When I met him, he's like, he just had this aura of compassion. But he started just noticing a lot of the problems in like Washington, D.C., you know, especially with the kids, young kids that do a crime and then go through juvie and be right back. There's just this cycle. And again, a lot of poverty, no school, a lot of problems. So he started a program called Time Dollars. And it worked just pretty much like the carrying relationship tickets. And it had the same effect. It started building relationships and community and started connecting people that would never, ever even talk to each other to build relationships. So, again, relationship being a feminine quality, really important, but the design of the currency had this effect. It was affecting the behavior. And then one more, there's a whole bunch of these, but the saber, that also came out of Brazil, and they use that in the school system. And so when you're in kindergarten, you get a certain amount of sabers. And what does that mean in Spanish?
To know.
So that's a school name for a currency, right? So you're in kindergarten or first grade, you get a certain amount of this currency, and the third grader is going to help you, and you're going to pay the third grader to help you, to tutor you. Well, when you teach somebody, what happens to you?
You learn it better, right?
Mm-hmm. So the third graders would get paid. They were teaching it. They learned it better. The third graders would hire the fifth grader to come in and tutor them. So the money just worked its way up. These kids got tutoring. The kids that were teaching got smarter and they learned it better. And by the time it got to senior in high school, once you're there, you've accumulated quite a few sabers, and you can use that to pay for you your university education or part of it. So really cool way to not only solve the problem of, well, how are we going to pay for our university professors and whatnot. The kids are getting the education all the way up. They're developing a spirit of service. They're building a vertical community. You know, they just talked about the bullying went down because it was building relationships. So just really, really cool ways to solve these problems and enhance these feminine qualities, which are really, really lacking. They really need to be brought into the system. So back to our wholeness. You know, we can design currencies that will foster cooperation, more of an egalitarian spirit. Sure, it'd be nice to foster mutual trust in a business world, right? People more empathetic, but just developing all of these qualities to hopefully help round some of this stuff out. Nice thing is, you don't have to ask for permission, you can just do it. You know, in Utah, there, I don't know, anybody here familiar with gold bucks?
Goldbacks.
So it's a way to, and this is a yen currency, it's gold. But it's, there are actual notes, like the one has, it's a thousandth of an ounce of gold.
Embedded into the
it's got a polymer casing or whatever. But I think more and more people are going, you know, we need to do something about our currency. Dollar's not real dependable. It's getting more and more unstable. So that would be a yang currency that would be alternative. But the yin, again, it looks at what's the creativity a person has? What are the resources? What's the life force? How can we tap into that life force, and how can we build relationships and maybe get away from this hierarchical, which has its place, but it's pretty much way out of balance, and start bringing some of these qualities back into our personal lives, our communities, and our society. So, recommendation here. There's a New Money for a New World has a lot of these stories in it. and didn't really have time, didn't think I could do a good enough job. But Bernard Leiter was a brilliant guy. He was one of the co-architects of the Euro. He says he wasn't an economist, but he really understood money and life force well. Helped Peru balance their budget, get them out of the red into the black. I mean, he's worked with, you know, national economies and really straightened them out. Also has an amazing understanding of Jungian psychology and archetypes. And he goes into, in this book, about here are more feminine currencies. Here's what it's done throughout history. Here's how the stabilizing force has been so powerful. But he talks about archetypes, and he says, for the past 5,000 years under patriarchy, the archetype of the divine feminine, the great mother, has been suppressed. Any Jungian psychologists here? When you suppress an archetype, what happens? The shadow comes out. And the shadow of the great mother is sex and money. So kind of the taboos in society. But I will leave you with that. Really cool reading, and it's just so fun to learn about. Here are the possibilities. I think we're all going to define the divine feminine is coming back. These qualities are coming in. And if we can aid those in any way, that's got to be a plus for all of us.